time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. We've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Monday, December 26th, the day after Christmas. I truly hope that most of you guys had a very wonderful Christmas weekend. And I say most of you because I realize a lot of people, believe it or not, are still without power. They've been buried by this what they're calling this bomb cyclone, this historic winter storm that hit up in the north and the northeast and then came all the way down. Even here in my neck of the woods in Georgia, we, for 2 days, we got record lows. I think we got the lowest we got in temperature wise and we have seen in at least 30 years here in my neck of the woods in the state of Georgia. So, despite all of that, I hope everyone had a safe, and blessed weekend with time with your family and your friends and enjoying that time together. But it's Monday. It's the day after Christmas and we're back in the studio. And today I want to kind of push. And we've got some stories that we want to cover this week in podcasts and our podcast info segments that we do and talking points. And we're going to put them out there. We'll probably do that starting tomorrow. But today, there were some things that I really kind of thought about. And I was meditating over the weekend, having discussions with family, getting together with some family and some friends. And even I have a network of pastors that I talk to and coming to the general consensus of the conversation that we had and I derived from this weekend, I realize now more than ever, if you were to ask me where we are prophetically speaking now we're not in the tribulation. I don't want to say we're in the tribulation because I truly don't believe that we're in the 7-year tribulation. Chronologically speaking, where are we in the book of Revelation? I believe we're in Revelation chapter 3. I really do. We're in Revelation 3. We're not in Revelation 4 and 5 and 6 or any of that. We're definitely not in Revelation 13, but we're in Revelation 3. When you go to the book of Revelation chapter 3, let me just take you there now. When you get up here to Revelation chapter 3, right in here, for example, when you get here, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, John the Revelator begins to speak, and he talks about these seven churches of Asia Minor. So all these churches were directly connected there to Asia Minor. These were seven churches that were prominent in his day. They were established churches. So, from a practical standpoint, these were seven literal churches that the Lord Jesus Christ was addressing. But most theologians will actually, they will pull a different, they would go a deeper layer on this. And they would add that these also represent seven spiritual ages or seven ages of the church age, seven different church ages. And if you were to ask me personally, where do I believe we are, spiritually speaking, of these seven churches, which church age represents 2022, where we're at? Without a hesitation, without a doubt, I would point you right here to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And this is the church of the Laodiceans. This is the Laodicean church. I want to read this passage to you, and then I want to just talk about this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time today on this podcast, but I just want to kind of do like a real talk open table discussion on this. So I want you guys to let me know in the comment section below. I want you to, this is an open forum. I want to hear what your thoughts are on this as well. You know, do you agree, disagree? Where do you think we are? But this is where I think we are. Let me read this to you. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, quote, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now, this is the Lord speaking to this church. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Some translations say, "I will spew you out of my mouth." "Because you say," quote, "I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes," man, there's so much meat in this, "I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So again, I want to expound on this. The church as we know it is not the same church that your parents, excuse me. I got a lot of guys, we went from like 5 degrees to 45 degrees, and it's going to be 65 degrees this weekend. So it takes a toll on your sinuses. So my voice is kind of taking a beating on this. So I please pardon my raspy voice, which is pretty normal for me, but it gets worse when the weather gets like this. So just as a reminder. So anyway, the church that we see today, the church that we are becoming, I hate to use this word, acquainted with, the church that has become normalized today in 2022, it won't be long, and we'll be saying 2023, is not the church that myself, your parents, your grandparents, etc., knew, became accustomed to, acquainted with, and grew up in, experiencing moves of God that we experienced, encounters with God that we encountered, witnessing healings, miracles, and signs, and wonders, and demons being cast out. And the things that we experienced and came to know as what we would call normal Christianity is, and I hate to say this, but it's almost like a thing in the past. I'm not saying that the church is dead today. I'm not saying the signs, wonders, and miracles, and healings, and devils being cast out, and the dead being raised is no longer happening today. But I'm telling you, it's not normal anymore like it was at one time. Now, whose fault is it? Is that God's fault? Absolutely not. And I'm going to show you that today. And this is something that, again, when I talk to networks of pastors and other believers, this is something that we have. It's almost like you ever heard of the term the grieving process? When someone or something dies, you go through what is called a grieving process. You go through a process where, and I don't know the exact order of this, so I don't, you know, it's probably going to be messed up, but I'm just going to kind of wing this out there. But you go through a time where you're sad, and then you're confused, and then you're angry, you become bitter, there's resentment, there's regrets, there's remorse, and then, you know, it's this whole vicious cycle of this grieving process. And this is how many of us in the body of Christ, especially those leaders, us leaders who have experienced what we've experienced growing up in the church, in the ecclesia, the body of Christ, and experiencing what we're experiencing and then seeing what we're seeing today. We have wept over this. We've become angry over this. We've become confused over this. We've questioned things. We've become bewildered over this. How could this have happened? What happened? How did this happen? And can we ever get this back? When will we see churches we consider to be normal? Again, to be normal. When I say normal, I'm talking about biblically speaking. You got to remember, when you read your Bible and you read these accounts that you read about in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and in the book of Acts, this was considered to be normal church. Casting out devils was normal. Healing the sick was normal. Raising the dead was normal. At one time, it was normal in the church. It wasn't something that was few and far in between. But something has happened. And I believe, prophetically speaking, we have now entered into the age of the lukewarm church. My Bible says there in the text, when it gives a title for this section of the passage, it says the lukewarm church. This is the title that's been given to the Laodicean church. And notice here, when God is, he commends and then he rebukes. Let me say that again. To all seven churches, he commends them and he rebukes them. And one thing I want to say here is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord says, I know your works. It's amazing how you got church folks that want to belittle, combat, and attack other believers who even remotely mention good works or working for the kingdom. Because they somehow equate that with salvation, that we have to work for our salvation. And that's not what we're saying here. Your salvation is a free gift. It's given by God. You are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But again, I will say to you, saved people will have a drive to work for the kingdom. They will want to do kingdom work. They will want to witness the gospel. They will want to sow seed. They will want to water the seed. They will want to help the homeless, the widow, the orphans, the needy. They will want to do kingdom. They will be kingdom minded. And the Lord even recognizes this. This angel that comes and records the accounts of these seven churches, this angel records this account of, he bears witness. He documents what's going on in the church of Laodicea, and he reports this back to the Lord. And the Lord says through John, and through his writings, that the Lord knows your works. But notice what he says here, that you are neither cold nor hot. And guys, again, let me know in the comment section below, is this not where we're at? How many red hot, fire branded, Holy Ghost filled, devil stomping churches do you know of that are operating in the fullness of the gospel of what we read about in the New Testament in the book of Acts? Please, if you have one in your area, for the love of God, let us know so that others around you, maybe that are living in your city and in your proximity, can at least get plugged in and find a on fire church, because I'm telling you, they are far in between. In fact, what I have discovered is the predominant condition of most churches around me and anywhere I go. It is not just Georgia, but I've lived in Kentucky. I've lived in Indiana. I've been in Virginia. I've been all over the place, guys. And again, I communicate with other pastors and other networks across the states of here, at least in the United States of America. I can't speak for internationally speaking. I'm talking about here in the United States of America. And I tell you one of the most common questions I get on Facebook Messenger or email is there, do you know of any doctrinally sound Spirit-filled, on-fire churches in this area. And someone's from the north or from the eastern part of the U.S. or from the west coast of the United States or down south or whatever the case may be. But this is one of the number one questions we get. If you know of any pastor, any church, or any location, please let us know. And unfortunately, there is few times that I can actually direct them to a place that I know that is doctrinally sound, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost on fire, and actually preaches the truth and even warns people of the end times as well. Because, again, but what I'm seeing across the board almost is this lukewarm, passive, spineless Christianity and churches that have been erected around that premise. They're not hot. They're not cold. They're just going through the motions. They're on the hamster wheel over and over again. Cyclical patterns, programs, and theatrics. Week after week after week, and people are going in and out of the churches like a revolving door. They're not getting transformed. They're not getting convicted. They're not hearing any preaching on sin. They're not hearing the preaching of the cross, nor the blood, nor any of this. They're just, again, getting these motivational messages that pats them on the back, makes them feel good about themselves, the warm and fuzzies, and sends them out the door. And Jesus said, this makes me want to vomit. And watch this. And then probably right around in the early 90s, I'd say maybe the late 80s, early 90s, we began to see the rise of what we call the prosperity gospel. And that has infiltrated. It took real foothold in the 90s, and then it just exploded in the early 2000s. And we're still now, thankfully, a lot of people are waking up to this finally, and they're kind of phasing out of this. Now, I'm not saying that there's not still a stronghold of this, but there's a lot of people that there's been a mass exodus out of this theology and this doctrine, this false doctrine of, now again, I'm not against God prospering people. I am a product of that. God has blessed us, blessed our family, blessed our ministry, because we are faithful to Him in our finances, and thus God has always met our needs according to His riches and glory. So don't think I'm against prosperity in its true form, biblically speaking, because I'm not. But I am against this hyper prosperity wherein which it is a perverted gospel. And isn't it interesting that when you get into Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, listen to the testimony of the church of Laodicea, quote, because you say, in other words, they're going around saying this, quote, I am rich and wealthy and I don't need anything. This is what's coming out of this church, that they're walking around with this pious attitude, this pompous, we are very wealthy, we're very rich, we're not in need. Is this, now listen to me, I want to ask you, is this not what we're seeing across the board? Because this is the mentality that's come into the church today in 2022. And again, it's not just this year, but it's been going on, where the pastors are, you know, there's very few pastors that take the role of a shepherd because it is a call or a burden. But many of them are taking the role of a pastor as an occupation. It's almost like they're taking it as a position of occupancy or a source of income. They have created, it's no longer about winning souls, but it's about filling pews, because the more people you get in the church, the more money you get from the people, and the more money you get from the people, the higher you are on the totem pole. So they want to build bigger, they want to build better, they want to be more influential, they want the spotlight on them, and they want to become these, almost like these celebrity status pastors. And this is what we're seeing. In fact, one of these guys was just arrested. He calls himself a bishop, and he was just arrested. I don't have it in front of me, but he was just arrested. We posted this on our main website, End Time Headlines, recently. He was just arrested for all kinds of corruption, and he flaunted his wealth. Thousands of dollars of jewelry he would wear on him. He would wear it behind the pulpit. He was one of these, what we would call these prosperity preachers. So listen what he says. You, because you say I'm rich and become wealthy and I have need of nothing. But the Lord says to these types of churches, and they're everywhere. This is what the Lord says to them. He calls them wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And listen to me, the only ones that have this perception are the ones who are truly in the book. Those who are biblically rooted in sound doctrine will look at one of these churches and see that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But those who, listen to me, are not spiritually discerned, they are just going through the religious motions. Watch this. They will look at a church, and because it's large, it's got a lot of programs, it's got a lot of entertainment, it's got the pretty lights, it's got the beautiful sound system, it's got the fog machine, it's got the beautiful people on the stage that looks like they were cut out of a model fashion show. And it's got the social media status, and the pastor drives the $200,000 luxury vehicle, and he walks around with Rolexes on, and he walks around with these Armani suits, and he's got this status and this perception that these people look at that and say, well, that's successful. That's a successful church. That's a prosperous church. But what are they lacking? Do they preach the cross? Do they preach the blood? Do they preach repentance? Is there people being transformed? Is there people getting truly saved? Are there people getting delivered of drugs, delivered of alcoholism, delivered of alternative lifestyles? Are people being water baptized? Are people being filled with the Holy Ghost? Come on. Are the gifts of the Spirit operating? Are devils being cast out? Is the dead being raised? Because if these things are not operating in the church, they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And Paul said to such churches, run away from them, for they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. The Lord says, I counsel to you, buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. In other words, come on. The most prosperous churches in the eyes of the Lord are not the ones that are the ones that are on the front page of some Christian magazine or on some Christian television network that has all the bells and whistles, and it's got the celebrities to come and the athletes to come because it's the social status and the quota and all this stuff. God says that's not what I define as a prosperous church, but he's saying, look into the word, use that as your measuring rod. And he's saying to, come on, he's saying to these that are in this church age, repent, put on Christ Jesus, and do the works that God has called you to do. Win souls to the Lord, transformed, make disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I rebuke and chasten. Notice, listen, the church of Laodicea is not preaching rebuke and chastisement. It's love only. We love you like you are. We love you in your sin. We love you in your lifestyle. And we're not going to do anything that's going to cause you to be uncomfortable in that lifestyle, because we want you to remain as you are, because we got to keep you in the church, because we got to have your money. And if the more money we get, the better, come on, we can get our status. That is, oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching a little bit here. I wish somebody would bear witness with me today. I know there's a remnant out there. Let me know in the comment section below. I'm telling you, I'm seeing this across the board, and I know you are too. The whole gospel, not only, listen, true gospel loves through rebuke and chastisement. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Are you hearing me? Just because, listen, because I bring rebuke and chastisement, that doesn't mean I don't love you. I correct my children all the time. And I don't bring correction to them because I don't love them or because I find pleasure in disciplining them. No, I do it because I want them to mature and become adults and be, come on, a product of society and can function in society and not be some deadbeat that never learned discipline. And now, come on, you're not going to see that from my household. I'm not raising up some heathens. The old folks used to call it some hellions that go around some 6-year-old, a 5-year-old. You see this all the time on TikTok or Facebook or some YouTube video where somebody's 5-year-old, 6-year-old is cussing people out at Walmart and cussing people out. And the parents think it's funny and they catch it on video so they can get views and everybody's laughing and thinks it's hilarious. I think it's despicable. I think it's disgusting. And I think it is a poor testament on how you are raising your kids, because your kids are going to talk like that because they hear their parents talk like that. Oh, come on. Am I preaching too hard for you today? Is this too strong for you today? I'm talking about, listen, this is the lifestyle of lukewarm Christianity, that we can just talk like we want. We can live like we want. We can do whatever we want. There's no need of repentance. There's no need of correction, no need in discipline. And Jesus said, listen, if we are grieved over this and we are vexed over this, how do you think the Holy Spirit feels about this? We know how Jesus feels about this. Jesus said, it makes me want to vomit. And we know, according to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is grieved, vexed, and quenched by this lukewarm, passive state of the church today. Then I want to get to verse 20. This verse right here has been taken out of context for years, and I'm going to bring you the correct context to it today, because I'm sick of it being taken out of context. Over and over again, you hear this. Let me just read this verse here. We're just going to pull it up. I want you to see what I'm looking at. We're going to go right here. Ready? Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. We have heard this passage over and over again for years and years and years. And here's how it's been preached to us. Well, the Lord is standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking on your heart and he wants you to open that door. And we've even have paintings of this and portraits of this where there's a door and the doorknob is on the inside and not the outside, because you have to open the door because Jesus can't open the door from the outside. And they painted this picture as this is the door of our hearts. And Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts and he's knocking on a door and he's saying, won't you open the door, friend, so that I can come inside and on the inside of your heart and sup with you or live with you. Friends, that is not what this is talking about. Remember, context of scripture and proper interpretation is everything. One of the rules of interpretation of scripture is you must read the scriptures before and after before you can properly interpret what the meaning of the scripture is. So if we take what is after and we take what is before, we are still in the context of a lukewarm, passive church. So let me give you the proper interpretation of what the Lord is saying here. He is saying here that when we get to this place right here, now we know the church of Laodicea was an actual church in John's day, one of the seven churches in Asia. And it, watch this, they became so complacent and lukewarm that they no longer recognized when the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was there and trying to move in the church. That He wasn't even in the church. He was on the outside of the church, but the church was going through the motions as if the Lord was in it, but He was never in it to begin with. Wow. Now, let me give you the prophetic picture of this. If we're in this prophetic picture of the age of the lukewarm church, is this not where we're at? Are we not in a place right now where we have masterly perfected church and plain church? We have mastered this craft to the point, watch this, where it's so organized and so programmed that the pastors don't recognize, the leadership don't recognize, the song team doesn't recognize, the elders don't recognize, and the church members don't even recognize and discern that the Holy Spirit is not even in the church service. And Jesus is saying, I am on the outside looking in. And I would love to come into your church service. I would love to come into your assembly. I would love to come in and be a part of your gathering, but I'm on the outside knocking on the door, but nobody will let me in. Come on, friends, this is what I'm trying to tell you. And now I'm going to close with this and we're going to pray. It absolutely breaks my heart and grieves me that we have come to a place in America and outside of America where we can go through the motions of quote unquote church. We can make all the blame we want of why people are not coming back to church. They don't have any interest in the church. But listen, don't think we're not guilty. We, as in the entirety of the ecclesia of the church, we are very guilty of this. Now, I'm not talking about the remnant. The remnant understand this. We've been sick to death about this nonsense for a long time. And when we call it out, we are the bad guys. We're the troublemakers. But I'm talking about the church, the system, the religious pharisaical system as we know it in our day has perfected church to the point where we no longer need the power of the Holy Spirit and His presence in our assembly. People has become so accustomed to no healing, no spiritual manifestations, no gifts of the Spirit operating, no miracles, no signs and wonders, that watch this, we become so normalized by the absence of this that we can now master craft and custom church services to the point where we can go through the motions, get the goosebumply feeling because, oh, they sang so beautifully. Oh, wasn't that such an awesome elegant speech by the pastor this morning. Look how beautiful the sanctuary is today. Oh, look at the new carpet. Look at the new sound stage. Oh, listen to the sound system. Oh, look at the fog machine. Oh, look at the beautiful lights. Look at the social media presence of that church. Oh, they have just got it going on over there. They've got this. They've got that. They had a celebrity sports figure come in and speak over the weekend. They had a famous actor come in. They had a famous Hollywood producer come to their church. So their church has got it going on. So, but it is absent of everything the New Testament church consists of. But we have become so lukewarm and so passive that we have gone through the motions, and we've now created a form of godliness and have denied the power thereof to the point, watch this, where is if you point it out or you speak out against it, you are now the troublemaker. You will be ostracized. You will be marked to be the one causing division. And this is what has saddened me. And Jesus, come on, I would be so grieved to know if I was a pastor of a brick and mortar church as we know it, and Jesus was on the outside knocking, trying to get in, but we don't need him anymore. Come on, I'm still in the book in Revelation 3. Says, we don't need you. We're rich. We're prosperous. We're wealthy. We've got everything we need. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need the Lord. We don't need the gifts of the Spirit. We don't need healing. We don't need miracles. We don't need all this stuff because we've got everything for us. And again, this is a false sense of security, friends, because listen, we don't understand this right now in America. Now, if I could talk to my Chinese brothers and sisters or my Iranian brothers and sisters that are the underground church that doesn't have what the modern westernized Christianity has. They don't have the bells and whistles. They don't have the best sound system. They don't have the best performers. They don't have the fog machines. They don't have the elaborate building, and they don't have any of that stuff. They just got two or more gathered in his name and the promise that he would be in the midst of them. So we don't understand that here in America yet. My friends, mark my words. If we're here long enough, we were just having this discussion over this weekend and today. In fact, just literally a couple hours ago, I was just having this discussion. It's all going back full circle. I'm not surprised by the numbers, the polls, the surveys, the climate that we're in. Because watch this, the early church began in homes because of extreme persecution. And I believe as this thing goes around and goes full circle and goes back to the beginning, full circle, it's going to end in church, in home churches again because of the same reason, because persecution is going to come back to our shores right here in America. We're going to see persecution like we have in China and Iran and North Korea and these other places that we don't understand and we can't relate to here in America. It's coming here. I told you, we talked about this on our last podcast. It's starting out with legislation and with social media suppression and censorship, and it's starting on that level. But eventually, you and I, as true Bible believing, spirit filled Christians, we will be deemed and marked as radical and thorns in the flesh of society, and we will be persecuted. Make no doubts about that. It's coming. It's only a matter of time if the Lord tarries. So listen, here's where I want to close today. If you're watching this today, you're listening today, and listen, if you recognize, and let me just pray it like this, and then we'll go in this. I just want to be obedient to the Spirit of God today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I have delivered this word that you've given me and put upon my heart, and I pray right right now. First of all, I pray that this word would go forth and it would not return void, but it would quicken, it would establish and prosper that which it's sent forth to do. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would go forth right now and convict the hearts and minds and spirits of the listeners that may be watching or listening or both on the other side of this camera and the other side of this microphone. And Lord, if they're in a condition of a lukewarm passive state, Lord, they recognize by the word of God and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they are not on fire for you and for your kingdom. I pray that you would convict them right where they sit, where they stand, where they are, that the Lord would lead them into repentance, that they would repent of their lukewarm passivity, where they are right now. They would repent, they would turn back to you, and they would wholeheartedly chase and follow after you like never before in these last days. That Lord, if there is a spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, red-hot church where they live in their town, in their proximity, I pray that they would get plugged in and devoted to that church. If they don't have one, Lord, we welcome them here to End Time Headlines and part of this family that we have here that we've established, that we see and commune with on a week-to-week basis. Lord, we pray that today, and we believe that today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen and amen. So listen, friend, we hope that you responded to this message. I hope that if you're on that lukewarm state, you're on that fence riding state, that you repent and get right, get back on fire for God, get plugged into the kingdom and do the work that God has called you to do in these last days. Listen real quick before you sign off today. If you've not downloaded our free app, please do so. It's available on Apple and Android. Again, it's free. You just download that app, push yes to push notifications so that you can keep up with our podcast and every headline when it's readily available. And as always, if this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, revelation, equipping on a continual basis, we want to give you the opportunity. You can partner with us, and you can do it two different ways. You can give electronically through the app at the bottom of the app. You can do that there, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines. That's P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, we're still continuing to get Christmas cards and letters and just blessings from many of you guys and many of our partners through physical mail and even emails and messages. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, from all of us at End Time Headlines. We appreciate your faithfulness, your partnership, and your blessings that you've bestowed upon us through this Christmas season and throughout the year of 2022. Listen, we're only a few days away until we embark into 2023. So we appreciate your partnership as we continue for the next 12 months or so. As we go on, we pray that we will remain strong into what next year brings. And we will. I trust and believe through the faithfulness of God and through His faithfulness and through your partnership that we will continue to do so. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on tomorrow on the 27th of December, Lord willing. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.